The book of Jude, 25 verses in this book. I'll tell you which chapter, but there's only one. But there's a lot in this little book. I'll give you a little bit of introductory remarks. Don't know a whole lot of introductory remarks. We're not totally sure who Jude was. Probably half-brother of Jesus is who he was. There's a possibility of two or three, but probably that's the one, the most generally accepted one. And we don't know for sure when it was written. It has to be towards the latter part of the first century, but I might say the book of 2 Peter, the epistle of 2 Peter, bears a lot of resemblance to Jude. So they probably were written somewhere close to the same time. However, in the scriptures, they're in the right order. Let me show you why. Look at 2 Peter. Just turn back a few pages. Chapter 2 and verse 1, the Apostle Peter says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily or privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Now look at Jude, verse 4. He says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." Peter said they're coming, and Jude says they're already here. Would indicate that they're in the right order, that Jude was written after 2 Peter. Probably somewhere in the 65 to 70 A.D., somewhere in that, about is the date of Jude, which doesn't matter a whole lot. If it did, we'd know what it is. The Lord didn't intend that we had to know. Anyway, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Well, so was he an apostle? What was it? Well, he was a servant. Many times Paul called himself a servant. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. And there's just several possibilities, but like I said, it's not really necessary that we know. And if it's necessary that you know, you can't know, so it's not necessary that you know. It can't be so. Anyway, to them that are sanctified by God. And the word sanctified means set apart for the use of God. People use these religious terminologies, and our minds are controlled by what they assume. To be sanctified is to be set apart for the Master's use. That's what that is. It's not that you've been holified, made holy, made perfect. That's not it at all. But to those who are sanctified, set apart by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And of course we get that, all of those things, the calling of God. And he says, "Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied." A lot of them say grace and peace, but mercy and grace and peace and love be multiplied. That's just a general greeting. To what church is he writing to? Well, it doesn't say. He's writing to believers, and I believe it's probably in a church context, but that's why this is called, along with the epistles of James, Peter, and John, and Jude, these are called the general epistles, the general letters, meaning that they're not specifically to any church, such as the book of Romans is to the brethren at Rome, First Corinthians, the church at Corinth, Philippians, Philippi, Ephesus, to the church at Ephesus. And so those are specifically assigned to certain ones. Where these books are not, they're generally. Doesn't mean they apply to the whole world. Who can that apply to? Those who are sanctified and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. That kind of limits the congregation, doesn't it? So, anyway. Now here, I don't know how many times in this chapter, I think this is the only time, he says, beloved. Doesn't say that after every sentence. He says, beloved. He's talking to those, they're called. Called of God. Shown their beloved. Loved beforehand by God. When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. That word common in the Greek, see if anybody recognizes this, is koinos. That's the word we use for the Greek translate or the Greek text of the New Testament, the koine. Well, that's what that means, common. It doesn't mean cheap, it means common. And the Greek of the New Testament is not the fancy, formal Greek language. It's the Greek of the common people, the Greek that was spoken by the people. And that's kind of, we kind of like, that we can understand. I was going to write to you of the common salvation. And that's pretty good, because all these people have experienced the same salvation. That promotes fellowship, doesn't it? Promotes good fellowship. We've all had the same experience of salvation. Well, you can't do that in the general world. They haven't had the common salvation. They don't know what the common salvation is. The common salvation that comes by the sovereign grace of God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ coming in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the common salvation. He said, I wanted to write to you about that. But because of the present situation, determined it was more needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you all, ye, second person plural, should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend. If you check those words out in the Greek, that earnestly contending, that's the same word if you're in a boxing match. Adversaries. So why we gotta show love and peace all the time? Talk. That's not what Jude said. There's some times we need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's not the Apostles' Creed. That's the Apostles' doctrine. The faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That's the doctrine that the apostles taught, that Jesus taught in that first century. By this time, that would take you back about 40 years, depending on the date of this writing, but go back about 40 years. I tell you what, I would to God that there's as many churches in Lexington, Fayette County that was contending for the same things that we contended for 40 years ago. Because I guarantee you that what was being preached and contended for 40 years ago in Lexington, they're few and far between. That you can hear those doctrines contended for. Used to go to the conferences, and boy, you'd hear doctrines of grace. You'd hear church truth. You'd hear the bride, Baptist bride, faithful Baptist bride. You'd hear all those precious doctrines. We hear much anymore. But he says to these folks that have been called of God and set apart, that you earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Now, I don't want to hurt people's feelings needlessly. But if you contend for the faith, you're going to hurt some feelings. There's lots of subjects in here that hurt your feelings. Matter of fact, the truth of it is, any sound doctrine in the Bible will at some time or another hurt the feelings of many people. Because you see, we are not naturally matched up with the truth. Because we are totally depraved in our natural state. I don't know when I'm going to do it. Thought about it today, but I'm going to get back on the teaching of leprosy. You won't ever find any teaching that will absolutely emphasize the doctrine of total depravity any more than leprosy. And the fact that only God can cure it. And a lot of people don't like to hear that. People don't want to hear, well, I'm wrong. Or I've been wrong. Or I did wrong. Or I'm doing wrong. They don't want to hear that. And that's why you don't hear that from very many pulpits anymore. That's why you've got so-called Baptist preachers that won't preach the true doctrine of repentance. Because the fact that God says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What does repent? What does repentance teach in that? What does that say to you and to me? It says everything about me is wrong towards God, and I must have another mind towards God. I've been wrong in everything about God. Amen. Now, you think that won't bother you? You think that won't bother people? Hide and watch. See if it won't get them to throw rocks at you. Literally, if they can. What happened to Jesus? What happened to the apostles? Now, he says you must contend earnestly. And that does mean to contend, folks. That does mean to get in there with it. Well, you can't debate people and all that kind of stuff and say things, just hurtful things. Well, I don't want to hurt somebody in the flesh. I don't have a fleshly battle. My battle is not fleshly, with swords and knives and guns and all that. But I'll tell you what, the sword of the Lord is sharper than any. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. So, and he says, verse 4, "For because you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, because there are certain men crept in unawares." Now, that word for men is not aner in the Greek, that's male species. That's a word from anthropos, mankind, includes men and women. We're in such a world today that they're so stupid, they don't know that the word man doesn't always mean males. Mankind means all human beings, male and female alike. And incidentally, that's the only two genders there are, male and female. All the rest of it is fake news. Phony, doesn't exist. You're either a man or a woman. You're either male or female. Do all the changing you want to do. Do all the cutting or the adding. And you'll end up in hell just like what you was born. A male or a female. That's the only two genders there are. Anthropos talks about all human beings. Male and female. So, there are certain men crept in unawares. Certain of mankind. This could be women too. This is not restricted to men. Crept in unaware. It came in the side door. They didn't come in the front door. Now we've got a problem here. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation? Boy, you watch the commentator run from that one. Now, one of them said, oh, you can't use this to say that God has done this from eternity past, or words to that effect. Really? I don't know how else I would explain it. I believe it means what it says. Now, do I have an explanation for it? Not just God's sovereign. And he's the potter, and we're the clay. And he makes, and the potter can do with the clay what he determines. Amen? That's pretty good, isn't it? They were before of old ordained to set to this condemnation. I think you said the same thing about Pharaoh. God said he raised him up that he might show his power in him. Amen. Yeah. Won't work good. Won't work with God. I love a God like that. Matter of fact, that's the only kind of God I would love. I don't have any use for a God that can't control his creation. These were ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now, how would they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness? Well, they creep in the church. Everybody welcomes them. They're glad to have them. But they get in there and they start teaching their heresy. I'm sorry, folks. That's the way it happens. And so, turning the grace of God, of our God, into lasciviousness. Now, we're saved by grace through faith. Amen? It's all of grace, as Charles Spurgeon so ably said. It's all of grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's all of grace, all of God. And we'll shout to the rafters on that. So how do you turn the grace of God into lasciviousness? Now you look up that word lasciviousness, and it's used for all kinds of immoral ungodliness. Well, now how would you turn the grace of God into lasciviousness? You couldn't actually do it, but you could do it by your teaching if you infected other people with that teaching. You would teach them that the law of God has no more sway over the child of God. You can do anything you want to and do all you want to and you still go to heaven. Don't you think that would turn the grace of God into lasciviousness? And I'm afraid there's been some Baptists that have done that. And lots of times people just hear that and the preacher doesn't really say that, but they cabbage on that. Oh, well, you're saved whatever you do, so I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I don't have to do nothing. I'm saved by grace. I can do anything I want to. No. Doing that, you're denying the Lord. Well, if you deny his word, you deny his law, you're denying the Lord, the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So no, if you're truly saved, you're saved by the grace of God. It's not by works, we understand that. But you can't just do whatever you want to do. Matter of fact, God says you got to get yourself under control. You bring your members under subjection all through the Bible, the New Testament especially, Romans and all that. No, you can't just do anything you want to. If you're out doing just anything you want to, you better check your wants. Your wants haven't been changed. You're truly saved, your want-tos are different. And I sin more than I want to. I don't want to sin as much as I sin. I'm thankful for the grace of God and his blood that cleanses me from all sins. I'm thankful for that. But Lord, I want you to work on my want-to. My want-to, I want to do a lot better than what I do. I might be doing better than I used to, but I ain't doing near as good as I want to do or intend to do. So, to deny the Word of God is to deny the Lord God. It's to deny Him. I said about the Genesis. How can you deny Genesis without denying the Lord God? How can you deny any portion of the Word of God? So these so-called antinomians that say the law is no more sway over a child of God, of course the law has sway over us. The Ten Commandments, we don't do all the religious stuff, the sacrifices and all that. Jesus Christ fulfilled all that. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. But now that doesn't say the same thing about the Ten Commandments. I had one fellow say, well, the Ten Commandments is for the Jews. Hogwash! You tell me that a child of God is free to violate commandment number one. Oh, they're all right up there. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You're a child of God. You're a Gentile. Are you free to violate that? I'm not free to violate that. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, any likeness, anything in heaven above earth, and these waters under the earth, that you should bow down yourself to them. Are you free to violate the second one? Anybody? I don't think a child of God, I don't, surely no one that's been taught the truth, got in business with pictures of Jesus and statues and loaded crosses, crucifixes and all that. I think we would shun idolatry, shouldn't we? We're not free from that. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Are we free to break that one? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We don't keep Saturday. But you see, this we keep one day a week. That's what it means. Do we honor the Lord? This whole day, listen, I know we have afternoon service. We don't have evening service. But this whole day belongs to the Lord. Amen? It's not ours. We're not free to break that. People say, well, I know Seventh-day Adventists and all those others. They keep the Saturday Sabbath. No, they don't. No, they don't. There ain't nobody in the Gentile world or the Jewish world that keeps the Sabbath day. Check it out. Go to Exodus. Go to Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers. Check it out and see what was required on the Jewish Saturday Sabbath day. You couldn't even build a fire on that day. If you turn your furnace on, you just built a fire. You could only go, drive three quarters of a mile or walk or ride your mule. But you could only do it three quarters of a mile. Who doesn't go further than that to go to church or go anywhere? Who do you think's keeping the Sabbath? Anybody says they're keeping the Mosaic Sabbath, the Saturday Sabbath, they're just lying to you. They're not keeping it. They can't keep it. And that was for the children of Israel in that situation. Now, is there a Sabbath keeping remaining for the children of God? Yeah, I think Hebrews brings that out. So he said, well, I do anything I want to on Sunday. Is that what you do for the Lord's Day? Anything you want to? It's not your day. It's not family day. It's the Lord's Day. So you're trying to put me under the law. I'm trying to tell you what the law says. And I'm telling you that as a Gentile believer in the grace of God, I am not free to break the Ten Commandments, let alone we start through, thou shalt not do murder, adultery, and all the rest of them. Are we free to break those? Any one of them. Can you name one of the Ten Commandments that we're free to break? Then don't tell me that that's for the Jews and not for Gentiles in this church age. I don't want to deny the only Lord, our Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to deny him. I'm not going to deny his word. I will therefore put you in remembrance. Though you once knew this, Well, you're repeating, Brother Jude. You're repeating. We once knew it. Why are you telling us again? Because we didn't remember it. That's why. How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Well, now we're talking about the Lord's people that got delivered by the Lord, and he destroyed how many? In the desert wilderness? Well, actually, everyone, when they got to Kadesh Barnea the first time, everyone that was over 20 years of age, except for Joshua and Caleb. And they all died. What'd they do? They committed the sin unto death, obviously. Amen? Well, now this is, he bring this out. Well, that Old Testament thing, does that have some bearing on us? I'd say it does. Because it's the same God on the same throne. And the objective here is for God's people that he has saved by his grace to continue serving him until it's over with. Now, if that's not enough for you, let's go back a little bit. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. The angels. Lots of talk about angels. Let me tell you what. Angels that obey the Lord are there to obey the Lord. They all didn't obey the Lord. There's a bunch of them that left their first habitation and rebelled at the Lord. Did they get away with it? Well, now he has reserved them in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day. That is those that didn't become demons, followers of Satan. So while we're going to get the angels to do, now you ain't going to get the angels to do nothing. They're there to serve God, to do what God says. Now this other bunch, you don't want them around you. Well, so we backed up all the way. Now we'll come forward a little bit. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, the cities of the plain, as Genesis talks about, in like manner, just like angels, which kept not their first estate, where God created them, they grew itchy and followed Lucifer. And they left their first habitation, their own habitation. First estate. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah. God did not make Sodom and Gomorrah full of homosexuals. But like the angels, which kept not their first estate and rebelled against God, the children of Israel, having been saved out of bondage in Egypt, rebelled against God, and God overthrew them, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, which kept not their first estate. God didn't make them full of homosexuals. And the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. Now that word fornication means all kinds of sexual filthiness. And going after strange flesh. For a man to go after another man, that's strange flesh. Amen. For a woman to go after another woman, that's strange flesh. And God did not make them to do that. We heard the other day that behind the, that used to be Patty Clay Hospital in Richmond, is now Central Baptist something, there was a man that got raped by another man. two or three weeks ago. I don't know if you heard about that or not. It's going after strange flesh. When you see a man going after a man, or a man going after a boy, or a boy going after a boy, that's ungodly. It is not of God.
Amen.
The same thing to be said for women. You young kids, you need to understand that. I don't care what they tell you at LGBT day at school. I don't care what those teachers tell you. I don't care what any other preacher tells you. It's not of God for a man to go after a man, or a boy, or a woman to go after a woman or a girl.
Amen.
It's ungodly. And look what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. Going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. What are you to think of when in your mind's eye you see Sodom and Gomorrah in the cities of the plain, you see the fire and brimstone coming down from God and destroying those cities? What are you to see? You're to see God's eternal judgment on sin.
Amen.
That's what happened there. Now they take the Bible and they twist it and rest it all around to try to make it say what it doesn't say. But you know what it says. And everybody's got an ounce of sense, knows what it says. Even if they're not saved, they know what the Bible says. That's why they hit it so hard. They hate it so bad. Charles Darwin corrupted the whole world with his ridiculous book because he did not want God judging him. So he tries to make an out for people to have a world that was not created by God. But God is still the judge, folks. By right of creation, he owns it all. And he is the judge. And if you don't have to pay, it used to be, people would have to fear the law or just the public in general, churches and families and all that. Now they're just wide open to it, just going blatantly. Just because judgment hasn't come now, don't set your heart to do evil, because it will be here.
Amen.
Who was it preached that message? Payday, someday. Now, are these all literal events of history?
Amen.
Yeah, sure are. And he said, likewise, with all of that, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. We're still on homosexuality and all of that fornication. They despise dominion, that is authority, and speak evil of dignities. They all do it. Listen, it's all the news media. They all do it. But to show you that they ought not to be doing that, running their mouths, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Now we're talking about, there's only two angels named in the Bible. They're both in the book of Daniel and Revelation. Michael and Gabriel. They're only two named. Archangel means the ark is at the top. Chief, first. Archangel. You're looking at the top one. I think Lucifer, he replaced Lucifer. Lucifer was there. But while he was contending with the devil, now we talk about a lot about the devil. He disputed about the body of Moses. Now, I don't know what all that was about. If you want to know, then I'll have to tell you as soon as you get to heaven, you'll have to find out. Because I can't tell you. Maybe you find out first, you can come tell me. Because I don't know. I don't know what that was all about. I know that God took his life up on Mount Nebo, and God buried him, and don't know where his body is. But even Michael, the archangel, the chief angel, dared not to bring a railing accusation against the devil. Ooh, that's a rough one right there, buddy. He dared not do it. But said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. Listen to Bill Maher. And all them stupid comedians at night. I don't watch them. You ought not to watch them either. But they run their mouths about everything. They run their mouths about President Trump signing Bibles in Alabama at the tornado where the damage was. People bringing their Bibles and him signing them. They run their filthy, filthy mouths against God, against the Word of God, against believers. So they speak evil of things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts in those things, they corrupt themselves. They just continue to corrupt and corrupt and corrupt. Folks, it ain't getting better. And he said, woe unto them. That means particular agony. Woe unto them. For they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Or that's, we see it, K-O-R-A-H, Korah. So these are three more that he pulls up out of the Old Testament to illustrate present day truth. The way of Cain, the error of Balaam, and the gainsaying of Korah. Look over 2 Peter real quick. Look at verse 10. But chief of them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Same thing Jude was talking, used a little bit different language. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not. They're no better. They're no better than a hog in the slop that's getting ready to be slaughtered, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart that have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved what it paid him, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. So very similar to what Jude has here. Now, Jude says in verse 11, woe to them, for they've gone the way of Cain. Run, ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. He says, now, what is the way? What is the way of Cain? It's the way of rebellion. That's what it is. Cain was a rebel before God. Cain killed a butcher. Now, when we read that in 1 John, look over there in 1 John real quick. First John chapter 3, verse 12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. That wicked one is Satan. And slew his brother. That word slew doesn't mean just killed him. It's a word for butcher. What do you do when you butcher a hog? Or a cow. You cut them up. You butcher them. You slaughter them. And that's what Cain did to Abel. What kind of hatred did he have for him and for God? And slew his brother. And wherefore slew? Why slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And what brought this all about? Abel brought an offering of the herd. Obviously, that was what God ordained. Amen. And Cain, he brought his of the field. I don't know all of the psychology of that, except I do know this. That God had respect to Abel. And with Cain, he didn't receive his offering. So he had no right to reject Cain's offering. Of course he did. Of course he did. He's sovereign God. So, well, Cain just didn't have anything available. You sell grain for sheep. No problem there at all. But Cain decided, I'm going to do it my way. Is anybody in here that does the Lord that way? I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what the Bible says. Anybody here? I'd be very careful about that. Because you see, there were people right then, as Jude was writing, that had gone in the way of Cain, gone that way of rebelling. Rebelled against God, rebelled against his word, rebelled against his will. Lots of people rebelling against God now. Lots of people in churches. So, where was it? I don't know where it was. It was in the First Baptist Church somewhere. Saw on those little videos. And this church out front, big columns, you know, the big standard First Baptist Church look. Plenty of money. And they had a rainbow flag out front. Big rainbow flag. They got this big conference going on. And somebody standing, I don't agree with everything the person said, standing out there rebuking them. But they came out and talked to him. He said, what are you doing? You know what God says in his word? Oh, well, you're using the wrong translation. You see, God still says it in his word. But what about that so-called church? You got them all around here. I told you about the ones in Frankfort, here in Lexington. You've got them all around here. They do it their way. And they say, God, You need to be thankful that we're doing what we're doing, let alone commanding us to do something else. So we're going to do what we want to do, and that's what we're going to do. Well, you can do it. That's exactly what Cain did. Did it his way. And then look at, he ran greedily after the heir of Balaam. You remember what Balaam did? Now, you can't fault anything that Balaam said. Really, that's kind of curious to read that. Read everything about Balaam. Not a whole lot, but there's some in the Old Testament, Pentateuch, about Balaam, things he said. He said good things. He really did. He said some pretty good things. But that ain't what he did. His words didn't match his doings. And you read that in Peter, 2 Peter. He loved the reward of unrighteousness. He sold God's people out for money. Reckon you can find that in this world today. I think you probably can. And then the gain saying of Corey, that is the way of arguing with God. Cain killed Abel out of his hatred, out of his rebellion. Balaam got into it for the money. And Corey wanted to argue with God and with God's authority. And they ended up under the judgment of God. I'm gonna quit here. But anyway, we can go on a lot here, but there's more to go through this. That's all.